My text for this morning is found in the third verse of Romans chapter 16, where the Apostle Paul, concluding his epistle and concluding this book, he tells the church there to greet a number of people. And in verse 3, he says, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus." The title of my message this morning is "A Married Couple Who Loved and Labored for the Lord Together." This thought and this couple came to my heart and mind on Wednesday night. As we sat in the prayer meeting, one of the brethren was praying, and I was struck by something I heard. He prayed, "Help married couples to serve the Lord together," or words to that effect. Now, I want to make it clear this morning, I believe that there's a message for those that maybe aren't married or are widowed or are widowers, but primarily, we are looking at a married couple who loved and labored for the Lord together. You see, while marriage is honorable, yet, if we are honest, we would have to say there are some married couples in the Bible who made spiritual shipwreck and are bad examples. Let me give you one from the Old Testament and one from the New Testament. The couple that comes to mind in the Old Testament is Adam and Eve. And Eve, who was tempted by the devil and ate the forbidden fruit, and then enticed and encouraged her husband to go astray and to eat the forbidden fruit. They made spiritual shipwreck for themselves and for all their offspring and humanity. There are decisions married couples can make that affects not only themselves, but the family and their offspring, and Adam and Eve's bad decision. My, it plunged all their offspring into sin, and what shipwreck they made. You think of the New Testament. Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5, they purposed in their heart that they would lie to the Holy Ghost. They sold a piece of land and they publicly declared they would give the seal in its entirety to the Lord, but they kept a portion back. And while the church maybe didn't know about it, and others didn't know about it, the Lord knew. They lied to the Holy Ghost. And their judgment was swift, it was sudden, and it was severe. And they both were struck down dead by the Lord. Yes, there are those who have made shipwreck and gone astray. But I put it to you this morning, here is a married couple. It has to be said, they're a lesser known couple in the Bible. They're not one of the prominent couples or a prominent character, but here they are, and they're a lesser known married couple. And what does Paul say to the church in the city of Rome, where they themselves had lived and labored for a while? He says, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus." They were helpers of the Apostle Paul, and he says, "Greet them." And I put it to you, therefore, they're an example of a married couple who serve the Lord. I believe there will be general lessons this morning for everyone. No matter what your state in life, there will be general lessons from this couple as how you can serve the Lord. But especially, may the Lord apply it and show it as an example to married couples how they can serve the Lord together. There are only 6 references to Priscilla and Aquila in the Bible. And the striking thing is that though it is evident that both were saved and converted, we are not told anything about their conversion as to how it happened or when it happened. Some have speculated that because Aquila was a Jew born in Pontus, and Pontus was the northern region of Turkey on the sea coast, some have speculated that either Aquila or both Aquila and Priscilla were converted on the day of Pentecost. Because in Acts chapter 2 and verse 9, it tells us that when Peter was about to preach his Pentecostal sermon, there were men in Jerusalem from all various places, from Cappadocia and from Africa, and from there were Elamites and from Iran and all these other places. And if you read Acts 2 and 9, you'll discover that Pontus is mentioned. There were Jews who had traveled from Pontus to Jerusalem for the feast. And some have thought, is it the case that Aquila was converted on the day of Pentecost under the preaching of Peter? We can't be sure. But what we can say is this: you can't serve the Lord if you're not saved by the Lord. And the first step on Christian service is salvation. I ask you this morning, are you saved? Husband, are you saved? Wife, are you saved? Is the home together in the Lord? That's the first mark, the first way in which a married couple can only serve the Lord. The first condition. And so being saved together, they determined to serve together. And what a great example there are. And in their service for the Lord, there are four things that I want to show you that the Bible highlights about them. And firstly, I want you to turn back to Acts chapter 18. And I want you to consider the persecution that they both endured. In Acts chapter 18 and verse 1, we have Paul's departure from Athens to Corinth. Paul was on the move in his missionary journeys. And really the focus is on Paul. And he's left Athens having preached his great Mars Hill sermon. And he departs from Athens and he comes to Corinth. And verse 2 then speaks of Paul's discovery. He found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome. Being a Jew, and Aquila was a converted Jew. And in the early chapters of the New Testament, sometimes converted Jews were slow to leave their Judaism behind them. Paul had that great battle with Peter and with James. You'll read about it in Galatians 2. But being Jews, they were residing and they were working in Rome, the city of Rome. And Claudius, in a way of persecuting the Jews, in his displeasure with them, he demanded that they all depart from Rome. And therefore, Aquila and Priscilla had to leave their home. They had to leave the place where they were working, where they were earning a living. And they came to Corinth. They had a dilemma. There was Paul's departure. There was his discovery. And he discovered Aquila and Priscilla because they faced a dilemma. And they faced it as a married couple. And I would remind each and every one of us that life and married life is not a bed of roses. It is not always plain sailing. There are many afflictions, there are many trials, there are many storms that we have to face. And Aquila and Priscilla, they faced this together. It reminds us that the Christian life will have hardships and trials. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, the psalmist said in Psalm 34 and 19. Paul exhorted Timothy to endure hardness as a good soldier. And in Acts 14 and 22, we're told we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. And here's a married couple, and they're probably not long converted, and they're facing persecution. They're facing a trial. They're facing affliction. They're facing hardship. And maybe you're facing the same. You're facing some trial, some difficulty. It may not be particularly for your faith, but as a Christian couple, you're facing a trial, you're facing hardship, you're facing trouble. Well, it tells us in Acts 18, verse 2, that Paul found the Jew Aquila and with his wife Priscilla, they were together through the hardships and through the trials. They faced them together, and they came through them and endured them together. You know, there's a little word here generally about the church facing persecution, facing opposition. There are times when we must stand boldly against opposition and against persecution, and there's other times we should just quietly move on and get on with our lives and get on with serving the Lord. And that's what Aquila and Priscilla did. They were driven out of Rome. They couldn't stop it. And rather than laying down their lives at that point, they quietly moved on to Corinth, where they continued to serve the Lord and were a great blessing in that service of the Lord. That's just a wee general point in passing. The point we're making is this, that they came to Corinth, and they endured it together. And here's the point I want to make before I leave this thought. In facing this persecution, it led them to the Apostle Paul, and they were enabled to serve the Lord with and through the Apostle Paul. You see in verse 2, it says they were lately come from Italy. And verse 1 tells us that Paul had just departed from Athens. The word would say it's just chance. Paul's left Athens and he's come to Corinth. He's made his journey to Corinth. But at the same time, there's a couple and they're fleeing persecution in Rome. And they come to Corinth and they meet at the same time. And how did they meet? They were both tent makers, Aquila and Paul. They were tent makers and Paul's working with his hands to provide himself a living. And Aquila comes to Corinth and he starts as a tent maker. And their paths, coincidentally, the world would say accidentally, their paths meet, but it was planned in the providence of God that Aquila and Priscilla would meet Paul to be helpers of him in the cause of the gospel. You see, what Claudius meant for evil in driving the Jews out of Rome, God meant it for good to bring Aquila and Paul together with Priscilla, and they would be lifelong friends from then on, serving the Lord together. Child of God, when persecution, when trials, when hardships drive you from one place to another, look upon it as an opportunity. Look upon it as the providence of God that He is at work, and look for opportunities to serve the Lord in your changing circumstances. For truly, what men mean for evil, God means and meant for good. That's the persecution they endured. But then go back to Romans 16 and verse 3. I want you to notice the preacher they encouraged. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. Isn't that lovely? From the references in the New Testament, it is clear that a great friendship was struck up with Paul, between Paul and Aquila and Priscilla. And they became a tremendous help and encouragement to Paul in his missionary work and in his ministry. It doesn't appear that Aquila was ever called to be the missionary or the preacher. It doesn't appear that We're certainly not told. He may have been an elder in the church, but we're not told that. It doesn't appear that he had any office in the New Testament church. But while he was not called to the mission field himself, yet he and his wife determined to be a helper to the one that was. And there's a service for the Lord that each and every one of us can do. We can be helpers of those in the work of the Lord. Let me pose the question, how did Aquila and Priscilla help the Apostle Paul in his missionary work and endeavors? Well, first of all, they helped by accommodating him. Go back to Acts 18 again, and the verse 3, it tells us because he was of the same craft and abode with them. Paul abode with them in Corinth. They had secured a home in Corinth. And they opened that home to the Apostle Paul. This is nothing less or more than biblical hospitality. Opened their home for a meal, a short stay to help the servant of God. They were like the woman of Shunem. Do you remember she saw Elisha, the man of God, pass by, and her husband, they built a little extra room onto the side of their house that when the man of God passed by, he could lodge there, and they put a little bed and a table and a chair for him to be there on his journeys. I'm not saying because it's not always practically possible, and there's maybe not the spare bedroom in your home, but this, in the general sense, is biblical hospitality. They accommodated the Apostle Paul and they let him stay with them for that short time while he remained in Corinth. And on a general level, can I say that hospitality is specifically required in the elders of the church? 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2 lists the requirements of the bishop or the elder, and it tells us they are to be given to hospitality. A bishop must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to preach. But let me go a little further and say that it should also mark and is required in all believers, for Peter in 1 Peter 4 and 9, writing to the church in general, he said, let me just read, we really could be reading from verse 7 here, the end of all things is at hand, be ye therefore sober, watch and pray, speaking just generally. In a wicked, sinful age when the devil is on the march and he's as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, be sober, watch unto prayer. Above all things, be fervent, have fervent charity among yourselves. Display a spirit of love among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins. Isn't that an amazing statement? We're not perfect. Preacher's not perfect. The elders aren't perfect. The deacons aren't perfect. The members aren't perfect. But you know, charity covers a multitude of sins. A loving attitude and heart and spirit. Then he says this, use hospitality one to another without grudging. Without grudging. Now they helped in accommodating him. We can be hospitable to those in need and to other believers, but let me say they encouraged the preacher not only by accommodating him, but by defending him. Romans 16 and the verse 4, who have for my life laid down their own necks. We're not told what this specifically refers to, but there must have been some incident. Well, there were many incidents in the life of Paul it could refer to, but there was some particular incident in the life of Paul in which his life was in danger. And Aquila and Priscilla put their own necks on the line to defend him and to deliver him. They placed their own reputation, maybe their own employment, their own testimony, or their own life probably, because that's what it would infer, from their own neck on the line. They placed themselves in danger to help the Apostle Paul. Again, let me apply it in a general way. Someone, the preacher, a true preacher of the gospel and righteousness, is criticized or persecuted. I don't care what religious denomination he's from. If he's a true man of God and he's preaching the way of salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ and upholding biblical morality, then never be ashamed to stand with that individual. Because I say this, there are not many other things that encourage the preacher more than when he is attacked, and he will be attacked in many, many ways, verbally, physically. His reputation could be tarnished by lies from the world to discredit him. When there's nothing encourages the preacher as much, or there are not many things that encourage the preacher more than when he is attacked, to have faithful people of God who will stand with him, who will support him, and who will defend him. And Aquila and Priscilla did that as a married couple saved. They were prepared to stand with Paul in his trials. You know, Paul's lamentation to Timothy was that at his first trial, no man stood with him. How lonely and discouraging that is. Well, here's another occasion when he was attacked. And Priscilla and Aquila, they were there. And they laid down their own necks for him. They helped. They encouraged the preacher by accommodating him, by defending him. And then, by traveling with him. Go back to Acts 18 again, in the verse 18 this time. It says, Paul, after this, he tarried there yet a good while. And then took his leave of the brethren, and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Cenchrea, for he had a vow. And they journeyed with him. They traveled with him on part of his missionary journey as he made his way to another place. This speaks of friendship. It speaks of closeness. It speaks of fellowship. It speaks of paying a visit. You know, there's a sense in which if you're never called to missionary work or gospel ministry, you can encourage by visiting. Maybe it's on a mission trip. Maybe it's just a little letter or an email. My, you can support the missionary in ways like this, such practical ways to encourage the servant of God. And Priscilla and Aquila were able to take a little time out and to travel with Paul as he went on the next part of his journey. The preacher they encouraged. The persecution they endured as a married couple. I want you, thirdly this morning, to consider the person they edified. And this really shows us their spirituality. Until now, we've looked at many of the ways they practically served the Lord in practical ways in life, particularly with Paul. But when we consider the person they edified, it shows us how spiritual they were as a couple. You see, again, if you're looking at Acts 18, look to the end of the chapter in verse 26. Really, from Acts 18 and the verse 26, really from verse 24, we read of an incident where a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, that's in northern Africa. He was an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures. But as you read on, you discover all he knew and his knowledge was the baptism of John. And it appears from verse 29 that while he would have preached about a Lamb of God coming into the world with his eloquence and his mighty knowledge of the Scriptures, you know, you can have a mighty knowledge of the Scriptures, but it only goes so far. That was Apollos. But he preached the baptism of John. John preached baptism for repentance, that they repented because they had faith in the coming Lamb, and they were baptized to show they had repented and they believed in the coming Lamb. But it appears from Acts 18 and verse 28 that Apollos, with all his knowledge and his eloquence, he hadn't come to understand Jesus was the Lamb, and he would come to baptize not with water but with the fire of the Holy Ghost. And as he's preaching these things, Aquila and Priscilla were there. Do you see verse 26? He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them. I love that little phrase, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. You know, as Apollos proclaimed the Scriptures and his doctrines, Aquila and Priscilla were there to hear him. And I want to make a couple of little comments about them listening to him. You know, they didn't criticize or castigate him. And I say this to my own heart as much to yours, because preachers are probably as guilty of this as anybody, but sometimes we hear someone preach and maybe they just don't have absolutely everything right. Oh, they're fundamentally sound, but they're maybe just not 100% right, although who among us is, but we hear something that's evidently just not right and we're so quick to just criticize them. Priscilla and Aquila didn't do that. No, rather they took him unto themselves and they expounded unto him the way of God more fully. They explained to him that Jesus was the Lamb of God, and he died on the cross as an atonement for sin, and he shed his blood, and he rose again, and he ascended into heaven, and he poured out the Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and he has baptized his church with the Holy Ghost. What does that say to me about Priscilla and Aquila in the person they edified? It tells me they were a discerning couple. When they listened to Apollos preach, they discerned that while he was eloquent and he had a mighty knowledge of the Scriptures, that it only went so far. I think it was Matthew Henry that said it only went as far as John, but it didn't quite get to Jesus. They discerned that, and yet they discerned the man. They discerned that he was a sincere man, that he was a true man, he was a believing man. They discerned that he was not a man who was an apostate or an heretic. They discerned the man, that he was a true man of God, and they discerned the message, that it was incomplete. They were a discerning couple. Have you that spiritual discernment that is born out of a knowledge of God's Word? Husbands and wives, do you talk about the Word of God together? Do you reason through the Scriptures and talk about one thing or this aspect or that aspect and learn together? They were not only discerning, but they were diligent. They were diligent in the Scriptures to teach them, and they were able to teach. Let me remind you, Aquila was not called to be an apostle or a missionary. It doesn't appear that he was called to be a preacher, but he could help the young, inexperienced preacher to develop in his gifts and abilities to teach others. There was a service there for him. I was struck by something Reverend Barnes said on Wednesday, I trust Sandra doesn't mind me saying this, but he was speaking about our brother Brian Foreman, and he said, you know, he often wondered that the Lord, with Brian's gifts and abilities and his knowledge of the Scriptures, that Reverend Barnes said he often wondered why the Lord hadn't called Brian to go on and be a minister himself. But he said while Brian wasn't called to the ministry, he was a great help and encouragement in his knowledge to young preachers who were coming on. And that's something similar to what Aquila was doing here. He had a knowledge of the Word and he could impart it to a man who evidently was gifted and helped him in his ministry. They invested time and effort in a spiritual work to help Apollos. As a married couple, they did this for the Lord. The persecution they endured, the preacher they encouraged, the person they edified. Let me say finally and briefly this morning, let me speak about the place they employed. Two references as we close. Romans 16, I think it's verse 4 there. It says, it's verse 5. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Speaking about Priscilla and Aquila, he says, greet the church that is in their house. And if you turn over to 1 Corinthians 16 and 9, this is confirmed. Verse 19, 1 Corinthians 16 and 19. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. Now let me explain this. It says the church was in their house. It wasn't like some have the idea today, and we've heard of here of house meetings or house churches, and really it's just a wee meeting where every Tom, Dick, and Harry comes, and there's no structure, and there's no order, and there's no office bearers. That's not what was happening in Priscilla and Aquila's house. The key word here is the church was in their house. You see, in New Testament times, the church was only beginning and establishing in its New Testament administration. They didn't have buildings or halls. In fact, they were persecuted, and many times they had to give up their own lands and their own places, and they had to be scattered for their lives. When they went to another place, the church had no building, no public meeting to build in. There were, I would assume, I'm in safe ground saying there were no public halls or community halls. And so often someone would open their house to the church, but it was the church that had the pastor, the bishops or elders, the deacons, the members, and were under the higher court of the presbytery of the church, but they opened their home. And my imagination is now running away with me. I hope it's sanctified. But Aquila and Priscilla, what were they? They were tent makers. And I'm imagining that perhaps at their home there was some outbuilding where they did their work and they made their tents. And at the end of the week, they cleared away the tools of labor and the materials. And the members of the church and the pastor and minister and the elders, they came there. And that's where they held their meetings. Remember Paul in another place in Acts, he preached in the loft when Eutychus fell down. It was a loft of like a barn or a home. It was the same idea here, and I was giving you basically a sanctified imaginary view of what it may have been. But the point is this, they had some room or accommodation at their home that they were able to open up, a place they employed for the service of God and for a need to be met in the church. They served the Lord by making their home available when there was a need to have the services of worship and evangelism. I wonder this morning, am I speaking to an individual and you've learned lessons here that you can take and employ and serve the Lord with? I wonder, am I speaking to a married couple who will dedicate themselves afresh in the service of God? I trust that the example of Priscilla and Aquila will be an example and a blessing to us all as we continue to seek to serve the Lord in our lives. May the Lord bless His word.